This is Prophecy Now. I'm Liberty, your host from Spirit Move Ministry. Let's just jump in and talk about times and seasons, prophecy, everything that God's doing right now, and what we need to be preparing for. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Liberty from Prophecy Now and Spirit Move Ministries. It's awesome to have you listening here on Prophecy Now podcast. I would like to remind you of our Dream Talks deal that we have going on right now. I have an 8-session Dream Talks e-course that I have for sale through spiritmoveministry.co. You have receive the first session for free here on Prophecy Now. I would like to offer 2 coupon codes for those who are Prophecy Now listeners. The first coupon code is PROPHECY10 with a capital P. This will be 10% off either session 1 or session 2, basically Dream Talks 1 or Dream Talks 2, each have 4 sessions, or you can bundle it and use the coupon code PROPHECY15 to receive 15% off the bundle of Dream Talks 1 and 2. I hope that you guys will take advantage of these discounts and be blessed by the e-course, and it's awesome to have you as a listener to our Prophecy Now podcast. Hey guys, it is Liberty with Spirit Move Ministries, and I am home from Africa, and I am still recovering and puffy-eyed, and it's fine. I have a word to release. The Lord has a word to release, and He does not care if our eyes are puffy. So I'm going to get on here, and if I look tired, it's because it's very plausible that I am. Okay, not really that bad. You get used to this, you guys. You get to where you adjust. You know how to get on the treadmill. You do things to, like, recover faster when you have jet lag and other things. And so the exercise machine is my best friend right now. And I'm actually going to go get on it as soon as I'm done with this video. And it's been, like, the biggest fun thing I can think of for the day. On the way home from the airport, we stayed one night in a hotel right next to the airport in Miami because we were all too fried, and it was like 9:30 at night. We were not driving, and so we just needed to crash. But all the way 3.5 hours from Miami to my house, all I could think about was, I cannot wait to get home and get on my treadmill, because typically trips like that, we don't really have the option to exercise every day and do that kind of thing. And actually, that's what keeps your brain working and helps you recover faster. And so I was like, I cannot wait to go home. I don't care how fried I feel, I'm going to get on the treadmill. And so, was excited for that. And so there's ways we can recover, but I am still working on it. I'm just a few days out from officially getting home on Wednesday. Today is Saturday. I'm recording this at the park in the rain. And, you guys, we had a great time in Tanzania. As you know, I was pouring into the pastors. And so to give you a little bit of a tidbit very quickly, yes, I can do it quickly. I can be faster. I think this is going to be a short video. I have said that. It's not always, okay? But, and no, I'm not chewing gum. Sometimes when you hear things, it's because I'm smacking my hands or something. And so I'm not chewing gum, okay? In case you want to comment that, but you can't because the comments are turned off. So you can't put, are you chewing gum? Because I'm not chewing gum. Okay. You guys, you know I have to be a riot. I have to make you laugh. I make myself laugh. This is my joy in life. Okay. So as you know, I was called there to pour into the pastor. So excited. The first night we were there, the Lord woke me in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m. and was like, just got me up to pray for a few hours. And so I was up praying in the spirit, and I was like, okay, God, what is your true heart for these pastors? What do they need? And this is literally what he said to me. He said, Liberty, times and seasons. And I was like, I felt my spirit leap, because that's what I do, is times and seasons. And he said,
everything you've released through your ministry is not just for the American church, it's for the body of Christ globally. And he said, everything you pour into those through your American ministry, basically, even though we're global, I want that poured into the pastors here. They need it. My body has to all be in unity of the direction, what needs to be happening next. And he said, they need to hear the same messages. It's for them just as well as for in America or any other nation. My word to the body, to my bride, is the same globally. And so he said, Liberty, prepare my bride in Tanzania. And I was so excited. You guys, I could barely get any sleep because that meant that he was telling me I was going to give 4 days. Okay, 5 days. I ministered for 5 days of spankings. That means he sent me with the rod. And I was like, this is going to be so fun. I'm going to speak twice a day and I'm going to lay it out. And I know that sounds like not super nice, but it is, you guys. That's what I'm called to do. And so he said, Liberty, my bride here needs to be unshakable. Get them ready. Pour into them times and seasons. What am I saying? What am I expecting from them? What has to happen for them to be prepared to be the body, to be the leaders in this nation, to bring in the souls and basically carry on the work? And so I had an amazing 5 days. I will be very transparent about one issue that did arise there. And it's interesting that I was there to basically prepare the bride and release the word of the Lord of purity and all that, cleansing, Jesus being your first love. It was amazing, you guys. I taught them all about being a Mary in a Martha world. And the Lord's like, you hit hard first teaching them about how to be a Mary. That the Mary, the end time remnant, my final ones, the bride is going to be a Mary, not a Martha. And so I taught them all about that. And then I went from that into other things, times and seasons, prophetic words to prepare them to be unshakable, the way they need to think, how they need to, you know, think about purity and getting rid of fear and deception and all this other stuff. So it was an amazing time. Now, I hope this is not too transparent for some of you, but I kind of ran into an issue with one of the pastors we were working with. And I'm telling you this because this is my story and it's what happened on the ground in Africa, and it goes with preparing the bride and where we're coming to, you guys. And so I had to make a decision while I was there, and I had to literally be the example that I was pouring into them. And so basically what happened is we did 2 days of a conference at a small church that was like 250 people in a different area in Tanzania. That was like an hour and a half away. Those pastors were in an area that was more like the slums. They would not have been able to make it into the main conference, which was being held at what would be considered a mega church there. The pastor has 17 churches. His church is a mega church, 3,700 members. And that's where we were actually having the conference because we needed the seats. We didn't need 3,700 seats, but we needed 1,000 to 1,500 seats. And so, but we did 2 days somewhere else. And then the official conference was the last 3 days at what I would call this mega church. Okay. But I was working with like 15 different pastors. Half of them were Assembly of God pastors in the network in Tanzania that were all, you know, AG, Bible College. They did all the same. So they follow my ministry. I'm ordained with Assembly of God. And so, and then the other half were non-denominational pastors that we were working with that they had brought in to the network. And so, because we want to reach everyone, we all have to just be unified. Okay. So long story short, yes, I'm capable. Do not have a comment. This pastor, this mega pastor, you guys, I'm being so real right now. You can send an email if this offends you, but I'm literally telling you what happened, and I ended up having to become an example, and I'm honored to do it for the King. It was unexpected that I had to end up doing this, but this is what ended up happening. The ministry never got hindered. I did all that God called me to do. Our team did everything we were called to do there. But okay, so this pastor of the one mega church is not married, okay? And he very quickly became very liking me. I'm going to put it nicely, okay? He became very, like, it was too much. It was a lot, okay? It was very clear that very quickly he basically gained feelings for me. And I'm being so real right now, you guys. This is my story. I am telling it because this is what happened. Literally, we all have these kind of stories, but this is literally what happened. And so then his behavior began to change very quickly. It was not okay. It was not appropriate. It was not like evil. Like, don't get me wrong. They're beautiful people. And my guess is normally he would not act that way, but he chose to very quickly. And things were happening that were not okay. I kept feeling, I feel everything and see everything in the spirit. So I'm feeling it constantly. And I did not appreciate it. I understood anybody can like anybody, you know, that I'm not saying that people can't like each other and maybe there can be an attraction or something, but like it just went from like, I met our team. We were getting ready because we had 3 days of conference to do at his church and he was basically hosting us and he just switched very quickly. It was very noticeable, even his ministers on his staff, the other pastors on his staff, because he has like 12 because it's a giant church, noticed the other pastors in the AG network, even my interpreter, who's also an AG pastor, saw what was happening in the spirit. I was not the only one. I was not misreading it. And after the second day, I was like, okay, Jesus, I drove home. Well, we drove to the hotel and I was like, okay, it's very obvious. This pastor has feelings for me, but this is not okay. This is not why I'm here. I am here to serve you and to pour into your people, to pour into the pastors. What am I doing with this human being? Because this is not okay. Like, it's not okay. He's like in my personal space too much. There was a lot going on, you guys, but like in my personal space, having to like lean on me and touch me and all these things. I'm like, okay, I have boundaries. Stay outside of this loop here that I have going on. So you guys, I'm usually very nice and I was keeping it good, but I was like, Jesus, this is not okay. And you have to understand, I give room for people to be human. But by the second day, his behavior became so erratic and not okay that I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not doing this. This is not okay. And I will not be, I don't want any mixture. I'm not doing it. Like, it was way too much, you guys. It was too much. And so I invited the other pastors, like 7 of them. We all went to dinner after the second day into the conference, after the end of the day. We went to my hotel and I said, hey, let's get together. Let's get some coffee and we need to have a discussion. And so I was honest with them. And I basically said, there's behavior going on that's not okay. And, something has to happen here because it's not okay. What's happening is not okay. And they agreed, they saw it. Then they, at that moment, all were admitting to me that they saw it. They could see the same thing. They knew he had inappropriate feelings for me. And it was affecting being able to do the conference and have it be done correctly for the Lord. Okay. And so I had to make a decision that I was not going to return for the final day. I was supposed to be there at the mega church the third day for the ending of the conference, and I walked because I'm not doing it. And so I told the other pastors, and so I ended up going to a church of 200, an AG church in the slums, and preaching there for my final day. I did that there instead of at the mega church. And this mega church pastor proceeded to call, you guys, I'm being so transparent. Do not be offended that I'm telling you what happened. This literally, it's the shaking, you guys. It's the bride of Christ being purified. And I'm a prime example of having to walk it out. So this pastor gets a hold of like five of the other pastors and tells them, tell Apostle Liberty to come back, you know, to finish the conference. And they basically told this mega pastor, we will not tell her anything. She has made her decision, and we're not in the business of telling apostles what to do. And she has made her decision. We stand by her decision. She will not finish the conference. And she is going to be speaking somewhere else for the final day. And so so I had to do that, you guys. I did not like it. I keep my commitments, and I did not appreciate being put in a position where I had to be like, I had to step off from this because this is inappropriate and it's not okay. And I didn't like the spirit behind any of the stuff that was happening. And so I'm being so real with you guys. And the reason I don't mind telling you my story. It's my story. It's my testimony, but literally I had to be what I was pouring into them. And so the next day, another Assembly of God pastor, he had been driving me around all week. He was my driver. And he went to pick me up for the final day to take me to the little church in the slums instead of the mega church. And Pastor Juma was with us. And he said, so you guys, this is going to be a short video for the word part, but you guys, I've got to tell you this story because it is about the shaking and the bride and the purity. And so Pastor Juma is very fluent in English. So he was interpreting for the driver. He could speak English, but not enough to say everything he wanted to say. And literally he said, Apostle Liberty, I just want to talk to you. I want to say something serious to you. And when I got in the car for us to go to this church in the slums where I was going to preach instead of the mega church, because I walked out. And he basically said, I want you to know I've been honored. He'd been driving me around for 7 days everywhere. So he had to spend a lot of time with me and the rest of us. We were all together in a van. And he said, I want you to know I have been honored to drive you around. He said, your integrity and your purity, he said, is beyond what I have seen in any person that we've brought in. And basically the fact that I told the mega pastor no, he said he doesn't get told no. He's very popular and very well known in this nation. And you basically told him no, and you walked out and stood up to him and without any fear. And I did not, you guys. I'm like, I'm the wrong chick. He's never come up against Liberty because Liberty ain't playing. So, and I'm not trying to be sassy, you guys, but he was really trying to just tell me, you literally walked out on the mega church and you're going to go preach at a little church in the slums instead. His mind was blown. He was like, I have no words, for your purity and integrity. And you basically stood up to this person that nobody does. And every woman in the world would wish that he would, whatever, fall head over heels for them. And I just listened and I said, here's the thing. I'm here to serve Jesus. I love the Lord, And I'm here to represent the unshakable bride and becoming the unshakable bride. And I am honored to go to the church with 200 people in the slums and not go speak to 4,000 people at the mega church. And I said, I know you want to honor me, but it's not necessary. This is literally how I am. This is how I live. And, so I became the example of the times and seasons, you guys. I believe outside of that bad behavior that ended up coming out from that pastor, that normally that's not what would be happening. I don't think that that's his normal behavior, obviously, or he would not still be a pastor. And I don't believe, he seemed to be very, cared about the Lord and the ministry and all that, but it's just for whatever reason. You know, I don't know. It was all, of course, the enemy, the devil coming in to bring distractions and all that. And so, but I'm here to tell you that we are in a shaking. The body of Christ, we have a decision to make. I could care less about what it looks like or looking good, speaking at this giant church or going to this 200 people church in the slums all day long. I will go to the slums and I will preach to the 200 people before I partner with wrong activities, impurity. And I don't even know that that pastor knew he was doing that. He didn't know what he was doing. He had just decided that he had feelings for me, and it just went, he like went way out with, okay, instead of keeping it cool, like, this is not appropriate, you know, it everybody could see it. It became very noticeable, especially by the second day. And I wasn't going to be embarrassed. I told the Lord, I was like, I'm not going to be embarrassed, but I'm out. I will not do it. And so then he contacted me finally after trying to talk all the other pastors into contacting me and talking me out of walking away from the final part of the conference. And I just messaged him back and I said, you know, that, the person that was messaging and sending stuff over to us, the pictures and the videos and all that stuff. I messaged them and they asked if I was still going to come to the church because the other pastors had said I was not or whatever. And I said, I'm going to be speaking at so-and-so's church. Thank you. Be blessed. Have a great day. You know, I was not there to get into a tizzy with anybody to whatever, but I was done. Like, I became the example. And we are in the final days, you guys. The Lord is not playing. And it so blessed me that that other pastor that had been driving me around all week, he watched my behavior all week. And he was highly honored to drive me around. And he was very, very mind blown that I stood up to this mega pastor and basically told him no and walked away. It just blew all of their minds. They were just like, oh my goodness, you know, and, that doesn't make me anybody, but I'm telling you right now, he cares about what we think. He cares about the inward heart. I knew what was happening was not okay. And I was not going to participate with it anymore. And I did not care if I was walking out on preaching to 4,000 people that I was, had already committed to. Too bad, so sad. And I know that that's, I'm being very nonchalant about it, but I'm serious. Jesus is king. I only care what he thinks. And it was not okay, the things that were happening. And so we have to get as a body of Christ to a place where we can feel, sense, know, and discern and not get pulled into things, not jump on bandwagons. And this is not just for that kind of thing. It's for the politics. It's for everything. We can believe and trust in what the word says and what prophecy says. We can believe it. without getting off our post, without losing our mind and getting distracted and doing 10 other things. He needs us to stay focused on being the remnant, becoming unshakable, becoming pure, and loving him first and foremost above all things. And everything gets produced out of that. Okay. Now, on to the dream. So this part will probably not be as long, but you guys, I had to share what had happened in Tanzania because all of us are going to be put in positions where we have to make a decision. And I literally drove away the second day from the conference in my mind, driving, me and Jesus having a conversation. And I said, this is not okay, Lord. I do not want anything to do with this. I cannot partake with any of this. I'm not doing it. And I don't care how it makes me look. But I'm walking out. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And so, we're all being put in these kind of positions, you guys, and God needs us to know, okay, where's your real heart? Where's your purity? Are you going to do stuff anyway? Just because people would think it's cool to go and be able to be in a pulpit where I already preached to a lot, the service the day before, whatever. Like we had probably 1500 people that was a part of the actual conference. But then the next day we were going to be inviting all the church members plus whatever. It might've been more than 4,000 people. But the point is I'll go preach to the one. I will not participate with any unholy activity. And I'm not getting pulled into anything. And when I'm feeling it in the spirit all around me, wrong spirits, whatever, I'm not doing it. And so I became the example. And will I always do it perfectly? No. Because honestly, if they could have known what was in my head, it was like probably a little rowdy. Rowdy thoughts that weren't super like calm and girly. Anyway, I did everything God called me to do, and I believe everything ended exactly how it was supposed to. And I went and we had an amazing time in the glory, and I did impartation of fire with the small church in the slums, and I was not any happy. I mean, I was so happy. And I'll just tell you guys, it was an amazing thing. Okay, so this was a warning dream the Lord gave me, but also a word that he gave me with it. He woke me up at 4:44 a.m. with this dream. So this is what was happening in the dream. And this is why it says, get your house in order, warning dream. The last word I released was all about a new operating system, that God's putting us all on a new operating system. And he needs us to get in line with it. Stop messing around. Stop trying to do things our old way. Close old doors. Let go of old seasons. It's got to happen. You guys, we're not taking baggage into the new thing. And so it's very, very important that we allow the shaking and whatever he shakes loose and let it go. Let it be pruned off. And so, so in this dream, we were all like a bunch of us, me and other ministry leaders and their families. We were all in this huge Airbnb, and there was like, it was like a 10 or 12 room Airbnb. And I was sharing space. My mom and my sister were there, and we were sharing a room with several beds in it or whatever. And that right there tells you, because my mother, my biological mother and my sister both passed away. So that right there just gives you a tidbit into, you know, the reality of the dream. Okay. That's already the start. Okay. That is not good. Okay. So, I wake up and, I go downstairs and it's really early, and I get up early to spend time with the Lord, and I hear racket all around the house, like in the kitchen and all the rooms, like everybody's doing things, but it's like 5 a.m. and I get up and I come down to the middle of the house and I see all the different rooms, all the different things that are happening. And I'm like, what is going on. Everybody should be in their prayer rooms. Everybody should be in devotion. Even if they're up early, they should be quiet. Like, they should be in with the Lord right now. What is all this nonsense happening in the house? And then in the dream, I could just feel the buildup of, this is not okay. So I went in the dream and I stood in the middle of the house and I said very loudly to everyone, I said, everyone. And I yelled really loud to get everybody's attention. And I said, enough's enough. Everyone needs to go back to bed and start over. The Lord says, enough's enough. What are you guys doing? There's racket. You're doing this. You're making breakfast. All this stuff. You got up early, but you're not spending that time with the Lord. The Lord says, go back to bed and start over. And get up and start properly. And everybody just looked at me. And they stopped what they were doing. And I said, I'm serious. You know, the mama look. And I'm like, I'm serious. Go back to bed. Get up early. Give your first to Jesus. Anyway, I was like massive mama about to take you out moment with the whole house. But none of them were my kids. Even though, you know, spiritually. And so they were like, oh my gosh. So everybody went back to bed, dream over. So when I got up, I was like, okay, Lord. I was like, wow, that was like extreme. And he said, Liberty, as I've been teaching everyone about the new operating system, letting go of the old seasons, closing old doors to come into the new doors, to step into the new. New beginnings are not always that easy, you guys, because we got to let go of old stuff. Sometimes it's old hurts. Sometimes it's old, literally physical things. We have to let go and let pruning happen to make room for the new. The pruning is what we don't always like. And the Lord said, as I've been walking my people through times and seasons, these stages of pruning, of leaving old seasons in the past, having a new operating system. They need to operate the way heaven wants us to operate, not how we've been operating, the way of Egypt. He's got to get Egypt out of us. And the Lord said, my people must get their house in order. And he said, so basically what was happening in the dream was everybody got up early, like they were supposed to get up early. But he said, instead of stopping and spending time with him and loving him first and sitting at his feet and spending time with him in his presence and going into prayer, they got up early to just keep doing the same things they always did. And he said, instead of getting up at 5 and then doing breakfast at 7:30 and giving me their first 2.5 hours, they used to get up at 7:30 and go right into Martha, 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 busy, busy, busy. Now they're getting up earlier, but they're still going right into Martha, Martha, Martha. They're still not giving me their first. And he said, I need my people to get their house in order. I need them to have a whole new start. Just like in the dream, I stopped and I said, the Lord says, everyone go back to bed. Get up and start everything over. Start the day over. This time properly. Sitting with him. Prayer. Going into wherever you have your devotion time with him. You go and you be with him. And you guys know I've been talking about it for many, many years. Even before when I was a lead pastor. Devotion, being a Mary in a Martha world, it's necessary for the end time remnant, for the bride of Christ to be unshakable. Everything we need comes from that place. And so basically the dream was a picture of his people sacrificing and getting up earlier, but they weren't changing behavior. They were giving God more time, supposedly, but it was to do more Martha activities. It was to be busy, busy, busy. They were still being a Martha. They were just getting up earlier to do it. They were still being a Martha. They were just getting up earlier to do it. And the Lord said, enough. He said, Liberty, my people have got to get their house in order. He said, they can't get up earlier so they have more time to be a Martha. They need to get up earlier so they can give me their first 2 or 3 hours of the day and then go into the stuff that they need to do. And he said, you're never going to be able to do all that he's called you to do. You could be busy all day long. You're going to get burnt out. Because what you're, the fuel you're running on is just literally works. And it's religion. You're running on doing, 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 when your supply has got to be his presence to do, do, do. You do out of his presence. And so then he gave me, immediately I thought of the verse as he gave me the interpretation of the dream. And he's like, Liberty, this is a warning dream for my people. They have got to get it together. They need to be getting up early to spend time with me, not be more of a Martha, not to get more works done. He said, they need to get up early and sacrifice. And we need a whole new operating system, you guys. We need to be doing everything differently than we've been doing it. Our mindset has to be completely different. We have to think about everything we do in a different way than we've ever done it. And I love being the one to give you the rod. Amen. It's like the most exciting thing for me. I should not be so happy about it, but I am super happy. Because it's what I'm called to do. And I was so happy to release the rod in Tanzania, even to the point where I had to physically, like, be the example. And I was proud to do it. Amen. Very proud to do it. And so the Lord immediately brought me to Matthew 12, 43 through 45, which says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he will find it empty and swept and put in order. Martha, Martha, Martha. You guys, this is going to blow your mind, okay? And put in order, Martha. Then he goes and takes with him 7 more spirits, even more wicked than himself. And he enters because basically the space is empty. And then that house is worse than it ever was before. So it shall be for this wicked generation. And so let this blow your mind. You get rid of the demons, you get delivered, you find Christ, you're doing all this, blah, 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 blah. He's your first love. You lose your first love. This can happen. Jesus says, this is what I have against you. You're not doing the things you did at first. And so what happens is, yeah, all this stuff gets removed. And so basically these verses are saying, yeah, all these things get removed. You get your house in order. You sweep it. You clean it. You do all this stuff, Martha, 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 but then you don't do what's necessary to fill it back up. Filling it back up, you don't fill it back up with more Martha activity, with more busyness. You have to then take that empty house that's been cleaned of all the evil, that's been cleansed and you've been delivered. Wow, I am all kinds of gold dust coming out of my pores. You can't clean it and then keep doing works, keep being a busy Martha to keep the house clean, but never do what's necessary to fill the house so that the demons can't come back with more. Because what ends up happening is it becomes religion. We have a bunch of religious people doing a bunch of religious activities, but nobody is sitting at Jesus's feet. And so in this picture, the Lord is basically saying that my people need to sweep the house, get delivered, get rid of all the stuff, but then they need to do what's necessary to fill the house with the opposite. And it's no different than in deliverance ministry. If I break the yoke off of you of something that you need, if you've been oppressed by a demon or whatever, I release the opposite over you. I break the yoke and I release the opposite to fill you to overflowing. You have to fill a place. And so the Lord says the sweeping and the cleaning and getting it all organized is a picture of the Martha, Martha, Martha. It's religion. It's a religious spirit. And he said, but then after you do that, you have to then fill yourself with the opposite. That place that you've cleansed now needs to be filled with his presence. Otherwise, the enemy is going to come right back and wreak havoc, and it can come in many different forms. But the Lord said he wants you to have a visual of this verse of the Martha, 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 which is busy, busy, busy. And then people, they get going, they get busy. And I've seen it so many times, you guys, people that get burnt out, they quit ministry. It's because everything was on works. They were not sitting at Jesus's feet. They did not make his presence priority. They did not feed off of his, spending time with him, worshiping him, praying in the spirit. Those are necessary every single day, every day. And we have to be doing that every single day. So this is the warning dream. The Lord is saying, stop everything and start over, body of Christ. This is what he's trying to do. The new operating system. He's trying to get us to, basically, it sounds really lame to a lot of people who are super busy and think they're super cool and they have maybe like mega church ministries. Go back to the basics. Do what you did at first. Then let everything grow out of that. Then you will be busy, but it will be from his presence. And you will not get burnt out, because there's something that is your source that's not you. It's beyond you. It's got what we live on, what we feed on, what carries us, what keeps us going has got to be beyond us. It's got to be something we can't feed ourselves. Then why would we need Jesus? Why would we need the Holy Spirit? Why would we need his presence? And so basically this is like a season that God's been taking everyone into, I believe, since about 2018, where he's literally standing in the middle of the body of Christ globally. Imagine him standing on the earth and yelling to the whole body of Christ, everyone, stop what you're doing. Go back to bed. Get up early and start over. He's having a mama moment. And so I believe we're in that moment, and it's going for years, you guys, because it's the shaking has got to come with it. He's got to get his people back to their first, back to feeding on his presence. And maybe you're like, well, I've never actually learned to do that. It's very simple. And I've had people say to me, but I have kids, or I have this, or I have that, when they come to me and they're like, I have no time for devotion. And I'm like, yes, you do. Get up earlier. Yeah, but that's really hard. And I have kids. Get up before your kids get up. You guys, I have a comeback for everything. I did it. I got so flip a lid for Jesus from the time I got radically saved. I can't imagine not working everything that I do around being with him first. I've been doing it since I was basically 18 years old. I was radically saved right before I was 18. And I can't imagine anything else. And I've heard every excuse in the book. You know how many people I've mentored? I was a lead pastor for 8 years. I've heard it all, every excuse in the book. And I've got a comeback for everything you can come up with. There is no excuse on this beautiful green earth that the Lord created that you cannot make time to be with the love of your life. He has to be the love of your life first. And so, so whatever your reasoning is, you do have to sometimes sacrifice, come outside of yourself. Or what would be normal, a normal schedule for you or normal for people or whatever. You've got to come outside of that and wake up and do it differently. We have to be operating on a different system. So if that means you get up at 3 or you get up at 4. So like an example is, well, my kids, they sleep, but this is for moms because I was a mom. I had little ones. I know. But there's still no excuse. And I know that people, I offend people. When I was a lead pastor, I'd offend women. They'd come to me and be like, well, I can't do this, this, and this, and this. Yes, you can. This is how you can do it. And the thing is, it's not that I don't have compassion, but I did it. If you love Jesus, you'll do it. The same way you love your kids and you get up and you take care of them and you feed them, you need to love Jesus more than anything. And so you get up earlier. When I knew my kids were going to get up, that about the time they got up every day, I got up earlier than them. So I would have the house to myself before they were awake to spend with Jesus. You have to make a decision. And it does take sacrifice. I remember many years having to get up really early, earlier than probably I would prefer if I was making a choice, so that I could get it in before my kids were awake. But you have to make a decision. And it does get easier, you guys, in the sense that your kids get older and then, or, you know, you can get up, spend time, get them off to school. And if you do stay home or you work from home, you can go back home and go back into time with Jesus, as long as you're not skipping it and just not doing it. I'm telling you right now, during these end times, you will not make it if you are not living on His presence. If you can't borrow that from someone else, you guys. Your pastor, the prophet or apostle that you're under, whoever, they cannot give you what they, we can teach you, we can lead you, we can impart. I'm happy to do it. I love it. But you have to spend time with Jesus for yourself. You have to make time for Him to be your king. You have to love Him and worship Him. And so basically, the Lord is saying, get your house in order, body of Christ. This is what I've been trying to do since, well, allowing the pandemic, slowing everybody down. Sit with me. Stop already. I want to be with, He wants to be with you. You understand that? He wants to spend time with us. And so in this dream, I was basically being a mama. I'm called to be a spiritual mom to many. It's what I do. And I just was straight up. And I'm like, everybody, get back to bed. Get up and start over and do it right. This is unacceptable. And honestly, I don't like a lot of noise in my house. When I get up in the morning, I don't even want to hear it. I just want Jesus. And I just want the Holy Ghost and some worship music. And I get ready and I go into my time with the Lord. And it was so much racket. And I'm like, man, this is what Jesus is like. There's so much racket. Busy, busy, busy. Sweep the house. Get everything clean after you get rid of all the demons. But then you're not refilling it. You're not refilling yourself with anything. What you continue to do would be the sweeping, which is busy, busy, Martha, Martha, religion. That is not going to fill you. You're not going to produce any oil. You're not going to have anything you need, and you're going to get burnt out really quickly. And, or even fall into really bad behavior because you're not right. You guys, we've got to have a new operating system, and we've got to get our houses in order. So the Lord is saying, this is a picture of what He's been trying to do. He's trying to send everybody back to bed to then get up and start over and do it right. Do it in His way. Do it His order. What He needs us to know how to do so we can actually be the end time remnant. We cannot be unshakable without His presence and His glory, you guys. We have to be feeding on His word. We have to be praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. For hours a day, if you can, pray without ceasing. But there has to be time in your life where you make a period of time every day only about Him. It can't be, I could say all kinds of things, you guys. Okay, this video is still just about as long as all my other ones. So here's the thing. We have to be the example. We have to become unshakable. We cannot do that. Number one, here's some other good examples. When the house is empty, then it can crumble. The house is empty, then more demons come back, which then turns into the burnout and all the other things. That's not, God has none of that. I'm just be real with you, okay? I have never been burnt out. Nope. If anything, I get worse. I'm more happy, more joyful. He's the love of my life. I have no words to describe his beauty, the wonderfulness of him. Like, you guys, that's how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to get further from him and, well, this gets harder, that gets harder. No, you have to make a decision. So the Lord is asking you, will you stop all the noise, go back to bed, even if you have to physically, go back to bed, get up, start over and do it correctly, with him being the beginning of the day, not getting up earlier so you have more time to be a Martha and be busy, 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 to fill your schedule with more busy stuff. Get up earlier so you can put him first and you can spend time with him and you can love him. And there has to be that relationship with him, you guys. You will not make it without it. I have had, you guys, if you've been following me for a while, you know I've got stories. I was hit by 2 drunk drivers. The first one head on, then my vehicle went in to a pole and my sternum was broken, almost died. The devil's tried everything to get rid of me. Never burn out. And I'm not saying be stupid about your physical health, but what I'm saying is when he is your everything, you don't want to quit. I have so much excitement for all that he's called me to do. I go to sleep praying and talking to him. I cannot wait to get up and spend time with him. I've been that way since I was 17 years old. And it does not leave. The more you spend time with him, the more you cannot live without it, you guys. And you should not be doing ministry from anything else but his presence. He has got to be, everything has got to come out of his presence. And so we're going to pray. And here's what I'm going to recommend you do when you're off this, watching this word or listening to this word on the podcast. Repent. Repent. And tell the Lord you're sorry that you have been doing everything but what you're supposed to be doing. And for him to help you to go back to bed, get up and start over and start the right way. But that is a physical picture of spiritually what we have to be doing. If you're going to be a Mary, we've got to be a Mary, you guys. Go read the story. We need to repent for when we have not been a Mary, when we have failed to put him first and to keep him as our first love. And then we need to, even if we have to withdraw from some things, to sit at his feet, you better do it. Time is short. I don't want to be found not ready to be continuing to take my position in the end time army and be unshakable. I can't give it to you. You can't get it from someone else. It has to be you and Jesus. You can listen to sermons all day. You can do all kinds of things. But if you have no relationship with him, you will not have what you need. You've got to have a relationship directly with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a must. And so, Lord, we just declare from this day forward, we are going to put you first, Lord. We're going to go back to bed. We're going to stop all the noise, stop all the busy. We're going to go back to bed, get up and start our day over, start our walk with you over. We're going to start over. We're going to have a new operating system. We're going to begin to do everything differently, like what I told them to do in the dream. Everything's got to be done different. Get up, start over. It's got to be done different. Lord, we declare that we will pull back. We will do what we need to do things different and to do them the way that you want us to do them. And Lord, forgive us when we have not kept you as our first, Lord, when we have operated in busyness and not loving you and building a relationship with you first. And so, Lord, we say that we will go back to bed. We will get up and we will start over and do everything the way you want us to be doing it. And we will operate differently, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. And we thank you, Lord. You guys, it's an amazing thing to have a relationship directly with Jesus, the maker of the universe. Let that blow your mind. Wants to spend time with you. He wants to see you every morning. This should blow your mind. And he needs us to get our act together and not sacrifice our time to have more busy things to do, but sacrifice time to give to him, to sit with him. And you guys, it is hard for people to just sit. We need to stop being busy butts and we need to sit with Jesus. And then everything we do out of that, it does look busy. Like, it seems like I'm always doing a lot, but it's out of his presence. Always. That does not get skipped, literally, my whole life. You can ask my sons. Even when we attempted to do a trip that was like, we're going to go take a break and we're going to go, I don't know, somewhere and have a pretend vacation because we're going to go hiking or whatever. Everything revolved around getting up and spending time with Jesus. Like, it doesn't matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, Jesus is king. And there is no such thing as taking a break. And so let's get it together, body of Christ. Get your house in order. He'll show you how to do it if you repent and you ask him to help you. But it's as simple as going back to bed, getting up, and starting over. And doing everything differently. Amen and amen. Okay, you guys, I love you. This is almost an hour long. It's cool. I had to tell you the story from Tanzania, you guys, because literally, it was about me. But this is it. This is it, you guys. This is the last days. You better know who you serve. And you better be ready to have discernment. And not just be doing whatever. He's not okay with that. He is not okay with you just doing whatever. And then telling him he has to just accept it. Nope. Jesus is king. And he does not want any mixture. So, okay, I love you guys. I'm going to go for real. And I'm going to go finish resting after I go get on my treadmill. Because it's going to be awesome. And I cannot wait. I love you guys. I can't think of what's coming up next. We'll be preparing for Pakistan in October. We'll be raising funds for that if you want to give towards that. I don't know, but it's a new day. Get your house in order. Bye, guys. I love you.